Hey, Swifties! Welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clownelia Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, everybody. Quick disclaimer before we get into today's episode that while I wish that I was affiliated with Taylor Swift, I am in fact not. And all I am doing through this episode and this podcast in general is expressing my opinions and my appreciation for all things T-Swizz. Now, let's chat about all things fashion. I'm so excited. I've been wanting to do this episode, so I was really glad to hear in the broadcast channel over on Instagram that you guys were jazzed about this too. But before we dive into We Never Go Out of Style, We Never Go Out of Style, we can do a little recap of what's been going on in the Swiftverse, all the Swiftivities, if you will, because I feel like simultaneously nothing has been happening, but also so much all at the same time. So I feel like we're in this little in-between era, if you will. We've got TTPD, Tortured Poets Department, coming out very soon. We also have Beyonce's album releasing in 2 days. By the time this episode comes out, it'll be 2 days away. Technically, I guess 1 day, because even though artists tend to announce like things coming out on a Friday, you and I both know they come out at like 9 p.m. Pacific the Thursday before. So anywho, I'm jonesing for a little Beyonce x Taylor collab happening there. Whenever I say x, I cannot help but think about how I got absolutely roasted on the internet a couple months ago because I typically will say like Taylor Swift times Beyonce, like because in my brain x is times, and then people were like, it's not times, it's just x. And I'm like, No. In my brain, times make sense because it's two people collaborating, crossing over. X is a cross. I don't know. Anyways, I digress. We've got TTPD. We have Beyonce's album. So much new music. Curious to hear if you guys have listened to Kacey Musgraves' new album. What are your thoughts? Are you into it? Do you listen to other artists? Question mark. I get asked that question all the time. People are always like, do you exclusively listen to Taylor Swift? Absolutely not. Do you guys think I'm that crazy? I mean, you know what? I shouldn't say crazy because I know half of you guys out there only listen to Taylor. And there is no shame in the Taylor game. But what I will say is I feel, hear me out on this, I feel like listening to other artists will actually bring up your appreciation for Taylor to a higher level because when I listen to other artists, and this is no shade because I actually really do, like, for example, I enjoy Kacey Musgraves, but the lyrics to me, for every single other artist, there is like two artists that I'll name in a second that actually do hit home for me. They just don't do it. Like, I'm not getting the same feels that I am for Taylor. And I think it speaks largely in part to the fact that she speaks to me on a spiritual level. And that is why they call us crazy. No, there are a couple of artists that do speak to me. For example, I know you guys know I've talked about Noah Kahan a lot. I've been a huge fan of Noah Kahan way before he became cool over like the past year. I went to one of his first shows in LA. I always say it's one of his first shows in LA. It was one of the first shows I ever heard of him doing in LA. That was years ago. I mean, probably 6 years ago. The tickets were like $12, $25 max. And like barely anybody was there. Anywho, so that was a fun time and a half, but I think his lyrics do really speak to me. I really am big on like the tone of people's voice. Same with podcasts. I always think about while I'm recording this that I hope you guys don't find my voice annoying because I literally will boycott podcasts if I can't like jive with the person's voice. I wouldn't say I particularly have like a calming voice. It's very uppity, but anywho, Taylor obviously speaks to me on ways that other artists can't, and that was a huge way to say Beyonce's new album is coming out later this week. I like Beyonce. No problem with her voice, no problem with her music. She has a couple songs that really do speak to me. Am I like a Beehive member? Absolutely not. Is that what you even call it? Do you say you're a member of the Hive? I'm pretty sure that's what people say. They're a member of the Hive. Anyways, aside from the obvious of those two things happening, I feel like Taylor's in LA right now. She's back from vacation with Travis. Absolutely loved that the two of them got to have a little time away, a little romantic fun in the sun, if you will. lots of controversy on the internet. And let me tell you, ever since Miss T-Swizz became like the center of attention, people have a lot of thoughts. And I think it's just kind of funny because this is such old news to us that, like, yes, she's going to get paparazzied everywhere she goes. Yes, she will still get photos taken of her even when she doesn't want them to be taken of her. Yes, while she is on vacation in the water in a bathing suit, someone will inevitably take a photo of her. People are all up in arms over the fact that there's, like, images leaked from her vacation, images leaked of her eating at Nobu with Travis. And I'm like, you guys, what do you expect? I don't think it's right. Like, I think she obviously 1,000,000% has the right to her privacy. And shout out Taylor, if you're listening to this, like, girl, do what you need to do. But I also think it's kind of inevitable. Like, you're going to tell me if I'm eating at Nobu and Taylor's sitting next to me enjoying a little yellowtail jalapeno that I'm not going to take a little snappity snap with my phone? Like, that would take some serious restraint. I think my first course of action would be to hysterically sob in the bathroom, message you guys in the broadcast channel, and then force Matt to change seats with me so that I was not in her line of vision, because I would probably be an absolute maniac. But I would respect the boundaries, you know? I would probably slip a friendship bracelet to someone on her team, and then I would hope that she would notice me sobbing silent tears and come over and say hello. That's what I've been thinking about. I don't know about you guys. Anywho, I was thinking about, why is she here? Why is she in LA? Obviously, she has a home here, perhaps multiple homes, not totally sure. But I'm thinking she's probably staying put here throughout the release of TTPD and the beginning of the Eras Tour back in Paris, because number one, it's really easy to get to Paris from here. You can do a direct flight. I know that because I was just looking at direct flights, because the resale prices for tickets over in Europe, what's happening? Like, the tickets are $350, $400, $500. And in the world of Taylor, that is essentially free. I was looking at tickets to Paris because I saw there's tickets literally on the floor, like front center floor tickets for like $550, which is absolutely insane. Meanwhile, Miami tickets over here, you're getting a back view of the stage for $1,800, and that's a snag. But the round trip flights for Paris, you can go Delta, shout out Delta, if you want to sponsor the podcast, you can go Delta direct from LAX to Paris for, it was like $2,900 for May, because I'm sure there's so many people booked already going to the Eras Tour. But anyways, I feel like she might be here because it's easy to get to Paris. And also, I believe, I'm like 99% sure this is where they do their rehearsals for Eras Tour. This is where probably a lot of the dancers actually live. And I don't say probably, I'm like almost positive this is where most of the dancers live. This is easier dance rehearsal space than New York, most likely. And it's nice and sunny here. So it's all great and dandy. We love having her. We love having you, Taylor, if you're tuning in. I'm just going to start talking to her as if she's listening, you guys. Maybe she'll pop up one day. Anywho. Looking ahead, we've got a meetup happening on 4/20. I'm very jazzed. This is going to be, obviously, the day after, the first full day after the Tortured Poets Department release, and it is with the SoCal Swifty group, if you will. Super excited. I'm going to be hosting a Taylor Talk. Essentially, think of it as like the podcast, but IRL, and there's more information you can find this. There's an Eventbrite link over on the SoCal Swifties Instagram page where you can purchase a ticket to attend. It is 21 and over, which is totally a bummer for my younger listeners, but perhaps you can shoot them a message and see if you could do a chaperone situation. Not sure if that's an option, but very excited to be hosting a Taylor Talk, especially after all of the excitement that is Tortured Poets Department. Anywho. Last thing on the agenda that I have before we dive headfirst into the style and fashion evolution of Taylor over the years is that earlier this week, I hosted my March Clown Call, which is so exciting. And if you missed out on that one, no fear, because next month will be even better, because obviously we will have so much more to talk about. So that's going to be happening at the end of April, right after the launch of TTPD. If anybody wants to count how many times I said that today. You win a gold star. And I may or may not be back on Access Hollywood to talk about all things TS11. So that's that. Now, I got a lot of requests and a lot of you guys were excited about the topic of fashion, but specifically you wanted me to touch on Taylor's hair, which I think is really fun. If you guys are on TikTok, or I don't know if I've seen this circling as much on Instagram, but hair theory is a really big thing. And I don't think this to be like a social media thing. I actually think this is in real life. And what people mean when they talk about hair theory is basically how you wear your hair is an immediate perception of someone's or it is someone's immediate perception of you as an individual, your age, how you carry yourself, etc. So obviously, like if you're wearing a slick back, really posh ponytail, people might think that you are smarter. Or if you're wearing your hair, you know, into little piggytails on the top of your head, they might think, oh, she's a lot younger than she is, or she's really fun or outgoing, whatever it might be. So I think Taylor has done a really interesting job. And I say this, I err with caution when saying this, because I don't know how much of her style evolution. I know to a degree it's tailored, right? Like tailored, oh my gosh. It is tailored to her eras, and she uses her fashion as a way to communicate with her fans. But I also think she's done a great job of kind of remaining in the middle when it comes to not being overly styled or overly curated throughout the years, and also remaining true to her sort of feminine flair. I would say that Taylor, if I had to describe her style in one word or three words, it would be girl next door. I think, you know, from the red lip to the sparkles, the fairly modest sort of preppy vibes, I think you can tie that all up in a bow by saying she is very much girl next door. We don't see anything over the top, like daring from Taylor, but we also don't see, we tend to see the same thing over and over again when it comes to a specific era, such as right now. We obviously know, we'll talk about this later in the episode, we know right now she is hardcore in her like soft schoolgirl loafer mini skirt era. Like the mini skirt has a chokehold on her, and I'm totally here for it because I live, laugh, love for a good mini skirt. But there's a really, really good, I wouldn't even call it article, sort of like breakdown from Billboard. I'm going to link it in the description for you guys because I want you to be able to follow along or have something to scroll through while listening to the episode if you are not driving. This article does a really great job of kind of taking you through a plethora of Taylor's looks throughout the years. And that's kind of what I used as a guideline for today's episode. I didn't really want to go era by era because snooze. I feel like we talk about the eras and go era by era all the time. So I figured we could just kind of lump things together in terms of like early career, middle of career, current era situation. So let's just have a little chit chat and let's dive in. Little backstory too, if you're new to the episode or new to the podcast, I should say, I have a passion for fashion. So lame and so cheesy. Whoa, there's confetti on my screen. I have no idea how that happened. If you're watching on YouTube and you saw the confetti, I have no idea how that happened. But anyways, I very much love fashion. I have expressed myself through clothes since the time I was a child. I really thought I wanted to go into the world of fashion in terms of like a career when I was younger. And I was very embarrassed by this. I felt like there was a lot of shame. I don't know why when I was younger surrounding, and I think still today it exists, but people are a lot more receptive now to jobs that are less traditional. But I'm 27 for perspective. And when I was younger, I'd always say, I don't know what I want to do, but I know I love clothes. I know I love fashion. I would love to do that as a career. And people would say, yeah, but there's no money in that. Yeah, but that's not a real job. Yeah, but what are you going to do? Oh, da, da, da. And so I feel like I really took that part of me away for a while, but I never stopped wearing fun clothes and all that jazz. I did have a fashion blog for quite a while. I started that, I don't know, I think in high school. It really started because I worked at this boutique in Orlando, Florida. If you guys are locals or if you've ever been there, it's a boutique called Sophie and Trey, which stands for Sophistication and Trend. Worked there from the time I was like 15 years old throughout college, and it was a dandy time. I really think that whatever mojo, dojo, casa house they were creating there, a lot of us girly pops that worked there and ended up moving on with their lives have been very successful at whatever we chose to do, which is pretty cool. I would love to do like a case study on why that is. But what came of that job, most importantly, is I really learned how to sort of experiment with my style. And I would take photos every single day outside of the back like door of the boutique up against this trash can. Like it was a wall that kind of like surrounded the trash can to make it look a little prettier. And it was literally just like a brick wall. I would take photos there every single day. And this is how I got really like dipped my toe into the water of social media to begin with, because I got paid a drum roll, please, $8 an hour. I think it was actually $7.75 an hour to do the social media for the boutique that I worked at. And I honestly think what they would do is they would pay me for one extra hour a day on top of my shift to do the social media. But the reality was that we used to post 12 times a day, every hour on the hour from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm feeling a little PTSD just telling you guys about this. But anywho, I learned a lot about social media, learned a lot about fashion, and it challenged me to step outside my comfort zone because I was styling content for their social media and didn't want to showcase the same things all the time. That was a long-winded way to say Taylor, too, switches up her style And I think one of my favorite eras was honestly early career for Taylor. She has a couple of things that really have stuck with her. And we know the sideswept bang has transitioned from sideswept to straight across. And we've kind of seen that stay with her, obviously the red lip. But back in early career Taylor, that was really one of the only times I feel like she fully leaned into sort of the bohemian aesthetic. She was very much like Free People Anthropology vibe back then. And I personally really liked this vibe for her. I think it was very free-flowing. I think it was very age-appropriate and obviously very fitting for the country aesthetic. We saw, of course, a lot of cowboy boots. And when I say bohemian, think accessories that are less blingy focused, but like more like a part of the outfit. How do I describe this? Taylor was like one of the early adopters of the headbands that you wore across your forehead. They were very chunky. If you look up like Taylor Swift 17 magazine cover, I know a lot about this because I recently read the book from one of my favorite stores. She's the founder. It's called Ban Do, B-A-N, and then there's a dot, D-O. One of my absolute favorite stores. I've worked with them for many years. And the founder of Ban Do, she wrote a book and talked all about her mental health, but she talked about how Taylor Swift was one of the reasons why her business is successful today. I thought this was really interesting and I wanted to share it with you guys. So hopefully I haven't told the story. I don't think I have. But bandeau is another word for headband. I don't know what language. My assumption would maybe be French. I think it ends in like E-A-U-X. And she was trying to think of another way to market her headbands. And somehow when Taylor Swift was shooting for 17 magazine, she got styled wearing the forehead headband. And this was from the store Ban Do at the time, still is Ban Do. And from there, Taylor requested one of every single one of the headband styles. And she was pretty much seen every day for the next 6 months wearing this headband. And this was around the time when Taylor, you'll know what I mean, because you guys are hardcore Swifties. She's gone through two very distinct phases with her curls. I would argue three, actually. This was her like natural curls hairstyle era, where it was like more floofy, more brushed out, more of that like natural curl pattern. It later transitioned to more of like her wanded curls, which if you've never used the wand, I'll use my finger. It kind of looks like this. And then you wrap your hair around it and release the curls. So it's like comes kind of to like a point. It's very much like Shirley Temple vibes if you don't have super long hair. And she did have her hair more highlighted as she sort of transitioned out of like the natural look. And I think it's interesting, specifically talking a lot about her hair and sort of the fashion. I think what her team or stylists, really anybody who's trying to market themselves as a young professional or young artist, whatever it might be, you could really tell a lot to the public by how you present yourself through clothes. So I think it's interesting because I feel like early career, Taylor was really discovering a lot of her own style. That's why debut felt really authentic to sort of her. It was youthful. The bohemian aesthetic was playful, not overly curated. It wasn't too glam or red carpet. And then I feel like she sort of transitioned and still does subscribe to like the business casual sort of fashion style and look. It was very much on point for like the 2009, 2010 era with like, you know, the loafer and the skirts that we used to wear with like, do you guys remember like bandage skirts? And then those stiff skirts as well with like the zipper up the back. If you're young, definitely I implore you to have a jolly time going on Pinterest and looking in the trenches of 2010 fashion because it was a time. I wrote on my notes like Disney Channel aesthetic. She really kind of bounced, I feel like, between the two and did a great job of still maintaining her youth, but coming across a little bit more professional. This was also the time where Taylor, I feel like, along with the wanded curls, she was leaning more into the side swept bang. But I don't know what it is about this like early 2010s sort of time period. Taylor was constantly photographed wearing an updo. And I thought this was really interesting because clearly a big part of her brand, in my opinion, is her iconic, her early brand, I should say, was her iconic curls and hair. And then to transition to more of this like upscale updo situation for a lot of her red carpet looks, I feel like my only guess is that was to make her look or appear older. Now, going into 2011 was where I specifically feel like Taylor really started to define the style that we still see from her today. This was the introduction of the iconic sparkle mini fringe dress situation that we see, of course, on the Eras Tour, and we have seen time and time again repeated throughout many of Taylor's silhouettes over the years, specifically when she is performing. I think there's like a major distinction between Taylor's street style, her red carpet style, and then her onstage style. And I feel like her onstage style has not really wavered too much once she's really started to like hit peak fame and success, Whereas I feel like her red carpet style is where we've seen the most kind of all over the place in terms of how she's presented herself. And I think that makes sense because red carpet is most likely 100% the most curated of those three sort of like categories. And then her street style has been fun to kind of tune into because I feel like 1989 era for me, and I wrote this down, is really the only time I feel like we saw her in a lot of shorts and pants, which might seem like a little bit strange or nuanced to anybody who's not a Taylor fan, but it's very rare that we see Taylor in a lot of like tailored items. Again, we know she loves a skirt and a dress, but I feel like for some reason 1989 was where she really defined like a clear pivot point. And I feel like that's when she really was starting to catch wind for what she was wearing on the regular. This was also, I mean, of course, 1989 was a massive time for her, so it kind of makes sense that her street style would align with that, and obviously all the outings she had with friends. But whenever I think of like 1989 Taylor era and all the street style, I feel like her most iconic look that she sort of coined, the equivalent of her like current mini skirt loafer era moment, was the 1989 colored skinny jean, striped shirt, and little black hat. Not like a little black baseball cap, but like the hat. Like a little fedora-ish kind of hat. I feel like that was very much her look back then. But something I find incredibly interesting, and I would love to hear more about this maybe in a book from Taylor's stylist, which I would love to do an episode with him, unfortunately. I don't know if I told you guys. I reached out to her stylist team, and they politely declined, which is totally fine. Very much expected, but I reached out nonetheless. And she really hasn't wavered from a lot of the same designers from her early career, which I think that's kind of a testament to how important relationships are to Taylor, but also how I feel like she stayed loyal to her brand and aesthetic, sticking with a lot of the same designers. Probably speaks to the fact that they've been able to kind of become very familiar with her body, her silhouettes, and her preferences. I think something about Taylor that is most likely difficult, and Taylor, we'd love to hear from you on this, when it comes to dressing yourself, because I know personally I have a lot of struggles when it comes to my chest. Like I feel like I'm always, you know, I need a small on bottom, but a medium on top. And I struggle with like my bust and wearing things that are more modest that I feel comfortable in. But for Taylor, I'm sure one of her struggles when it comes to fashion is that she has such long legs. So I feel like that's why we see a lot of those proportioned looks where I always like to, I've talked about the rule of thirds a long time ago on my social media, but typically, when you're pulling together an outfit, the rule of thirds would mean that if, you know, your top or your bottom should take up 2/3 of your outfit, you never want to cut your body right in the middle because that's going to be most unflattering. You want to cut it either where you would have a top. Great example. Let me just give an example. Great example is her pink and orange red carpet look with the bob. I know you guys know that outfit. Her top is 1/3 of her body. It's a crop top, while her long maxi skirt is taking up approximately 2/3. Great example of proportions, and it can be done the opposite, where Billie Eilish, for example, constantly does 2/3 on top with a longer top going to maybe her thigh, and it doesn't have to be to your thigh, but then her pant or her short is typically taking up 1/3 of her body. So I think she most likely likes to lean into like the shorts and mini skirts or mini dresses because that proportion works really well for her body type, especially having such long legs as a tall girly that she is. Can't relate. I'm reporting live from the 5'2" club. Anybody else out there who knows the struggle? The struggle is real. Now, going back to Taylor's hair, I think something that's interesting, we saw a shift from her where she seemingly stopped dyeing her hair and then went to more of like the true blonde or true dirty blonde kind of color. A lot of people these days are calling it or refer to it as like the old money blonde. I think that's most likely what my real hair color, you can kind of see it poking through here, is. So I'm a great example. You could see like she's kind of moved away from that more bleached look to more of her natural. I think that was a great choice for her. We saw obviously the biggest stark contrast was when she did Bleachella, and that was kind of the last like edgy moment from Taylor that we got in terms of her hair. I know we got a tease at the premiere of the Eras Tour film whenever she came out. Everyone thought, and me, myself included, that she had cut her hair into a bob, but I don't really see Taylor doing anything drastic to her hair until honestly the end of the Eras Tour. Perhaps after that, maybe she'll change it up, but I don't know. I don't have anything like super marvelously notable when it comes to Reputation era and beyond, because I feel like we got a little bit snubbed with the pandemic. We obviously saw a lot more of a casual aesthetic from her during COVID, which is to be assumed with, you know, the longer cardigans, the cozier materials. And I don't think that was anything that was overly planned out or thought out. If you were wearing jeans during the pandemic, we can't be friends because I pretty much retired bras and jeans from the years of 2020 to 2023 and still don't really like wearing either of them unless they are loose and comfortable. I think going into current day and looking ahead, and this is what sort of leads me into the question, what to expect from Tortured Poets Department in the fashion. A lot of you guys disagreed with me when I did a video not too long ago styling what I see Tortured Poets Department fashion is, which in my mind is a lot of trousers. I envision a lot of plaids, hues of like jewel tones, florals, but like darker toned florals. Kind of honestly, if you watch Long Pond Studio Sessions, like an extension of the style from there, but a bit more leaning on the preppy side and less relaxed, a little bit more polished and scholarly, very scholarly. I imagine like glasses with a lot of looks. And honestly, the outfit that she was just photographed, the street style look with the baby blue sweater and the pleated skirt and loafer that she wore to lunch with Travis, that look very much speaks to how I see the Tortured Poets Department aesthetic. But curious to know in the comment section, what do you guys think we're going to see in terms of fashion from Taylor in this upcoming era? Now, leading into Swiftie submissions, I have a couple interesting ones from you guys here. And the first one I'll start off with, fairly simple, from Lena, is do you think the Eras Tour is better than previous tours? And I want to know from you guys on this as well, because as a longtime fan, I feel like my best description or my best answer is that it is just different. It is just different, not in a good way, not in a bad way. It is just different. And I think as an artist grows, you're naturally going to lose more of that intimacy with your fan base. But it also, with that territory, comes a lot of fun too. So I don't know. I would say it's better in terms of the more the merrier. Like the bigger the fan base has gotten, the more fun it's become to be a fan of Taylor Swift. But obviously we lost things like the meet and greets or the secret sessions. Perhaps maybe she did do secret sessions. Who knows? I guess there's nothing to do a secret session on since she hasn't done anything since Midnight's. I don't know if I would describe it as better or worse, but let's talk about from Anonymous. I think this is interesting and it's more food for thought because I don't really have a specific answer for you. But Anonymous said, I think that Rebecca in Folklore has a bigger piece in the puzzle than we think. The song The Last Great American Dynasty says that the, quote, doctor has told them to settle down. And I think it is because she was pregnant with Betty. My theory is that Rebecca is actually Betty's mom. And the reason she hasn't forgiven James for cheating on her with August is because she has trust issues because of the way her mom has treated past lovers. And she doesn't want to get hurt by James the same way her father was hurt by Rebecca. Dun, dun, dun. That was quite a theory, and I live for it. I live for the deep theories. I'm gonna be honest with you guys. You would think the longer that I do this, the easier I would be able to like spew or spit out theories. I actually find that my mind has become so convoluted with all things Taylor that I read something like this and I'm like, what? Becomes incredibly difficult for me to keep track of stuff. But as a Folklore girly through and through and Last Great American Dynasty lover through and through, I love the thinking on this. The only thing I would say in terms of if it had legs to it is we know that Rebecca from Last Great American Dynasty is about Rebecca Harding. So is it Harding? Is that how you say it? Harding? It's about Rebecca Harding. So I don't know if she would make up a fictional story about a real person. That would be like very much Inception moment. But the last one I want to talk about is from Hannah. This one is a doozy, and you're going to have to head to the show notes for this one to check out the video because Hannah sent through a video from the handle, it's like v.swifty.something over on TikTok, and he makes great videos. I'm sure if you are in any sort of clowning rabbit hole over on TikTok, you've seen his videos because I have seen these from him. But he does a deep theory analyzing numbers. Again, I'm not going to try to spew out these numbers. It's like a 5-minute video this lovely Easter egger created, but essentially he's kind of connecting the dots between some of the latest numbers and potential dates of things we could be seeing from Taylor. And his theory does align with the fact that I had said previously, and there is a post that I did over on Swiftie School where I said, I think on June 30th, we will get an announcement for Reputation. And then I had kind of a question mark as to when the drop would be. He kind of pieces together the numbers 72, and if you double that, 144. Makes pretty logical sense, everything that he lays out, but essentially it points to a drop of Reputation on, is it 10/11, he said, or 10/13? which is a Friday the 13th. There's a lot of Friday the 13ths happening at the end of this year. So it aligns with one of those. And I'm curious to see kind of what the direction is. It could be the opposite too. It could be a Reputation drop in June and then debut drop in October. Not totally sure. I know a lot of you guys, myself included, are conflicted on whether or not we will see the rest of the records before the end of the year. But the only thing that really stuck out to me in terms of why something most likely will happen in October is similar to how she took a break for Tortured Poets Department in April. She is taking a break. What is it? It is after London in August. London ends on August 20th, and then Miami begins on October 18th. So that period there in like September leading into October would make sense for a release. And we know Taylor loves to do releases towards the end of the year historically. So anyhow, that's that. Now, you guys know I've talked ad nauseum about my Patreon, but I am so excited for everybody who has chosen to join it. And if you're new to Patreon, you have no idea what it is. Maybe you don't have social media. I know I have a lot of younger girly pops listening and also older. No shame in either of those. Love everything in between. I'm 27, like I said, so I fall somewhere in there. I had never used Patreon before creating this, but I've been having the time of my life clowning with you over there. And basically, Patreon is a place where we can have discussion free flowing. I can't really do like group chats on Instagram. I wish I could. I have given the feedback to the Instagram team that I would love to make the broadcast channel more interactive. But for the time being, Patreon's a great place for us to do discussion boards. We have bonus episodes for the podcast over there once a month, freebies every month on the first, and clown calls happening at the third or fourth week, typically every month. And next month's will be particularly exciting, like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, because TS11 is here. Anywho, I wanted to welcome some of our newest members of the senior class of Patreon. And today we are welcoming Kirsten, Eli, Chloe, Macy. We have another Reagan, which is fun. Hello, Reagan. Callie and Jaden. Thank you guys so much for joining. I am having so much fun doing this podcast. I'm always welcome to feedback. I know a lot of you requested that we have K-Tone back, so I'm trying to figure out if he is available to do maybe an episode following the release of Beyonce's album, or if we want to reconvene following Tortured Poets or before. If you have any requests, feel free to send them in via the form. And don't forget to sign up for my newsletter. I send out some fun things there, and I always try to keep you guys up to date on like upcoming news and timeline in terms of like all things me and Taylor. So if you like both of those things, which I think you do, make sure to subscribe to my newsletter as well. Thank you guys so much for joining. My name's Reagan, and I will see you on the next one. Bye!
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time!